Okay, we are now on Lamed Bet Amid Aleph towards the bottom of the page. We're going to shoot for until the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph, which will prime us up for just Lamed Gimel Amid Bet on Thursday morning for the few. All right, so we're on Lamed Aleph. I'm sorry, we're on Lamed Bet Amid Aleph. So we're in the middle of this conversation between Alexander the Great and these Ziknei HaNegev, the elders of the Negev. All right, so he's telling them in the Gemara, we're like 2, 4, 6, I don't know, maybe 12 lines up from the bottom. Amar lahen ba'ina de'ezal limdinat afriki. So he tells the Chachamim, he says, I'm interested in going to the Eliel. It's the first one on the line is Amar lahen. Okay, so he said, I want to go to Africa. That's where he's, you know, that's where he wants to go. Amar lahen, sorry, Amrule, they said to him, lamatzeit azalt. They say to him, like, you're not going to be able to go because there are these dark mountains here. The Mefarsh on the side has a whole thing here where I just lost it. The Mefarsh on the side says, you won't be able to go. There's darkness in the middle. In order to get to Africa from here, you're going to be going through this area that's constant. It's always in a perpetual darkness. No one can pass through those mountains that are dark, so you can't go. You won't be able to go. Marlahen, la sag yadila azilna. Am tu hachi mishailin and luchu. Elamai avid. He says, look, it's for me to not go is not an option. I'm going. So I'm asking you, my question is, how should I go? How do I get there? Like, okay, so these dark mountains sounds like something from like Lord of the Rings, but these dark mountains, you know, how do I traverse these dark mountains? Amrule, Aiti Chamari Luvai Defarish Behavra. So there's a lot of Aramaic here, and the Mefarish is very clear with this. Have Hamarim Dolim Mitzrayim Shedin Lech Bechoshek. Get big donkeys that are Egyptian that know how to walk in darkness. Vaiti Kiburi Dematni Ukatar Bahai Kisa Dechi Atet Beorcha Nakata Begavayu Vatit Latrach. So Have Hamarim, we just read that. So you bring these, the Mefarsh says, ukshor b'hai gisa be'ovrecha. So get like a rope and then tie the rope on one end. Like when you are about to enter into the mountain range, like tie the rope and then just bring the rope with you through that area. So you've got these donkeys. The donkeys will be able to get you through. And then you just have this rope. So if you get lost or stuck, you've got the rope. So that's how you'll just follow the rope back when you come back. And that's okay, so we go. Avad Hachi, so he does that, but Azal. So he goes and he makes his way through and he gets to this mysterious Africa. Metalahu machoza de chule nashe. So he ends up, he comes to a city, and there were only women in the city. Bayalamevad Krava Bahadaihu. So he prepares to go to war against them. Amrule, I katatlan Yamru Nashe Katal, I katalnach. Yamru Malka Diktaluhu Nashe. They say you shouldn't go to war with us. If you beat us, everyone's just gonna say you just killed a bunch of women. That's not like a sign of greatness of strength, the way the Mefarish here explains. It's like Zo Enagvura. That's not a you're just taking advantage of people who are clearly weaker than you. And if we beat you and you lose to us, then everyone's gonna say you got beat by a bunch of women. So you should just not go to war here. This is not gonna end well for you. Amar lahen, aituli nahama. So I guess he says, you know, okay, good point. Please bring me some bread. Aituli nahama didahava, apatora didahava. So hevilo lechem shel zahav, munach al shulchan shel zahav. They bring him a golden bread on top of a golden table. Amar lahu, miachli enish nahama didahava. He's like, who eats golden bread? Right, the Mefarisher says, "Kolomar v'chi minhag b'kan lechol lechem shel zahav." Is that what you guys do? You eat golden bread? That's wacky. Amrule, so they said back to him, Ella, inahama ba'eit, lahabalach ba'atrach, nahama lamechal deshak, leit ba'atit lacha. They said to him, and again, the Mefarish, ein min ha'kan lecho lechem shazav. We don't normally eat golden bread. Aval bishvil kach samnu zahav lefanecha lecho, but we gave it to you. Why? Shreze pelalanu, shabata lekan bishvil achilatcha. He says, we just assumed you wanted gold. Like, why would you? You came all the way to Africa. You traversed the dark mountains for a loaf of bread? Clearly, we assume that's not what you wanted. We just assumed you wanted gold and silver. That's why we're giving you this golden bread, because why else would you come here? Why would you ask for bread? Ki nafek va'atai. So when he leaves, when he would leave the city, akitava baba de machoza. He wrote on the gate of machoza, on the gate of the city. He writes, Ana Alexandrus Mokdon, Haveti Shatya Ad Atit Limitinat Afriki Dinishaya, Vilifat Eitzam in Nishaya. So he wrote, Ana, I, Alexandrus Great, Haiti Shota, Mibli Lev Lavin. I was a foolish person without any heart of understanding until I came to this place, Limduni Chokhma, and they taught me intelligence. So, I mean, I'm sure we could spend a lot of time sort of going through like what the symbolism of this whole story is, but he says, okay. He was a fool until he got to this African city of women. I don't know, like the Amazons, or were they? They were in Africa. Where were they?
The Amazon rainforest. Oh no, that's a Roman myth. Isn't
it? Yeah, I don't think they're actually Greece? From. I don't
yeah,
think...
they're not from the Amazon. They're made up.
Yeah, but where were those legends from?
Greece, Rome.
I mean, so maybe that's what it's referring to. I don't know. Okay, all right. Sorry, Chaim. I have to look at that. Okay. Okay, so Kisha Kelva Aiti Yativahu Mayana Ka'achil Nahama. So he leaves and he decides to sit down at some riverbank, right?
Spring.
Yes, a spring. The Gemara, the Mefarshir says, Kiderech Bnei Adam Shushin Al Mayan Vochlin Sham Lechem. It's like people like sit, they sit when they go, they sit at the edge of the river, at the spring, and then they want to drink, they drink some water. So he sits down there to have lunch, I guess. So he had this this dagim meluchim is what the Mefarsh says. He had these like salty fish there. So he goes to rinse it off. So he's sticking them in the water, sort of rinse them off to guess wash off some of the saltiness. He picks the fish up out of the water and he smells them. They don't smell like fish. They smell amazing. They smell like Gan Eden. And so he says, oh my gosh, this is not just a Stam river. This is a river from the Garden of Eden. So he says, oh, I see from here, this is actually from Gan Eden. Or alternatively, Ikeda Amri Shikama Hanu Maya Trabe Ape. Or alternatively, people say that he washed his face. It was all it was. He splashed some water on his face and then he smelled it. So nothing to do with the fish. Ikeda Amri Idli Kule Adimta Lepitcha Digan Eden. So those that say the Mefarshes Halach B'Mayan Adim Dimata Ligan Eden Shemisham Hayanovea. So there are those who say that he didn't just splash around in the water, but like he actually got into the water and started walking up the water, up the spring, till he reaches the place that it was coming from. Adimat le pitcha de Gan Eden, and he got into the entrance to Gan Eden. Ramakala pitchli baba. He shouts out, "Open up the door for me! I want to come in." Amrule zeshar l'Hashem. They said back to him. I guess someone on the inside said. Zershar Lashem, this is the Lord's gate. Sadikim Yavovo, righteous people go through it. You can't just walk into waltz into the Garden of Eden just because you found the river. Amar Lahon, Ananami Malka Ana, Michashav Chashivna, Havalimidi. So he said, "What? I'm a king. The Chashivana, I'm in the Mefar, just I'm important. Newly Davar Chad Miganeda, just give me something from Garden of Eden. We have Einchem Rotzim Liftoch Lishar. If you're not going to open up the gates for me, at least give me like a goodie bag. Give me something to take." Yahavule Gulgalta Chada. They give him this a ball of some sort. So I didn't see in the Mefarish exactly what it was. I'm not sure with how the art scroll translates it. Do they say an eyeball?
They gave him an orb.
So this is orb. That's I think what the Mefarish says, just an orb. But the Perish Harosh.
Yeah, Rosh says orb of the
eye. Right. So it's an eyeball. Where is it? Yeah, I just saw it earlier. Okay, fine. So this says that, Galgal Eno Sheladam, like a human eyeball. Okay, so that's well, they gave him something, an eyeball or just an orb. Okay. Okay. Atye takle lechule dahava v'chaspa didei v'hadei lahava mitkale. So he took all of his gold and all of the silver to try to like weigh it out to get like the approximate weight value of this. The Mefarsher says, "Hayan noten kol kesef zahav shelobim osnayim mitzatze, but golem mitzatze, elbikan hayam achbid yoter migugol." Everything, like he couldn't get everything to weigh out appropriately. Couldn't find something to weigh it out. So he amar lohon the rabbanan, my high. So he said to them, "What's the deal with this?" Amri gulgalta deina debisra vidama tlokasava. They said, "Oh, this belongs to a person who was never full."
So now he's back with the rabbi.
Yeah, he made it back to them. Yeah, I guess he followed the rope. He made it through the mountains of darkness twice. You know, the movie only tells you how they get to the. They never tell you how they go. So this we. What's that?
It's the Lord of the Rings, they do.
Okay. Tolkien took it from here. Okay, it doesn't matter. The half deal.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Mefar says Gulgalta shel enosh basar v'dam shlo yisava le'olam lepikach mishkala kol kach shekol gazav zahav hi moshechad eleha. Like. Everything, it pulls everything in. This was an eye that belonged to someone who was never sated in life. He constantly wanted more and more and more. That's why everything is just like, it's accepting all of this because it's never enough. This eye belongs to a person who saw everything and it still wasn't enough. Okay. Again, you know, ask your local Orthodox rabbis like what the significance and meaning of this whole story is. Okay. I'm sorry. What's that?
He said, "What's it mean?"
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, after the scene, we can have a whole long conversation about what the heck is going on over here. Okay. Where were we? Amri gulta de ena. Amar lahu mi ma'ida de hachi hu shakli kalile afra v'chase la alter takla dichtiv sheol v'avadon lo tisbana. So he asks, "B'mai avchin im emet atem medabrim." He says, "How do I know that you are correct?" So they say, "Okay, so take some like dirt and ash and whatever, you know, cover up the eyeball." Shlo tuchal gugol lirot, so that I can't see anything. So you cover it up. Baz tisava, then it's gonna be sated. Lo yichleshim davar limeshechalei, then b'imtzu mishkala. Then you'll find it's gonna equal out because it's. Once you close its eye and it can't see anything more, you cover it up with dirt, so then it's not going to see anything. Then you'll be able to balance it out. It'll be good. Okay, and then it brings a pasuk that says something to that effect. Okay, time to be Eliyahu Gehenam Lamala Minarakiyav Yeshomim Lacharei Harayachoshef. So time to be Eliyahu says, where is Gehenam? So it's either it's, you know, we talk about, people think about like Gehenam being like underground or something, but here it's either it's above the Rakia or maybe it's a past beyond the mountains of darkness. Tana Rabbi Chia kolosek b'Torah b'layla shchina k'negdosh. Nemar kumi roni b'layla l'rosh ashmoret shivchi chamayim libeich nochach b'nei Hashem. So anyone who learns Torah at night, like the three of us are doing, and maybe anyone who's going to listen to this Zoom in the middle of the night, or we're learning Torah at night. So the shchina, you think it's just the three of us here, but the shchina is actually here with us. Shnemar kumi roni b'layla. Again, a pasuk from Echa. Rabbi Ben Azaria. Amar Rabbi Ben Azaria. Tamidecha chamim Rabbi Shalom b'alam. Shnemar b'chol b'anayich l'midei Hashem. Rav Shalom Banaich, this may be familiar. We say this all the time during davening. All right, so he says, Talmidei Chachamim, they bring peace into the world.
Slightly different.
No, I agree. Banaich, El Bonaich, it's the same. It's the same.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And Hajar Alach, Lo Hayu Koftin. We finished this parak. We're now moving on to the next parak. We'll see if we can do two more prakim today. What time is it? It's 8:34. Okay, so maybe we won't do the whole thing. We'll see how far we can get in 10 minutes. Okay, so the good news, good news, bad news, this is all just going to be Mishnah. So maybe we actually can get through. Okay, so Amar Lehem Memuneh. So now we're back in the Beit HaMikdash. No longer Alexander the Great. Amar Lehem Memuneh, Barchu Bracha Achat. So he would say to the person in charge, would tell the people to make a bracha. And the Mefarash here has a long, extended commentary on all of this without not being broken down into Dibur HaMachil. But he says here, the bracha... according to the Gemara, Masechet Brachot, she bracha zot hayu shehayu mevarchin tchila hi avat olam. Okay, so they make that bracha. Then baruchu, they make the bracha. Karu aseret hadibrot, they say the Ten Commandments. Shema vayam shema vayomer. Okay, like normal shacharit, it's an addition of aseret hadibrot. Baruchu et ha'am shalosh brachot. Then they would make an additional three blessings for the people. Emet v'yatziv v'avoda uberkat konim. Like a lot of these brachas, you know.
And those are three brachas.
Yes. Okay. And that's, you know, that's what we, and I mean, our davening takes from what was happening there. And like, you see the sort of connection between our Shacharit and what they were saying. And on Shabbos, so that was Shabbos, was on the group who was there would leave and the new group would take over. So I'd see if I can find, yeah, so here it is. And the Mefarash, she says, so the leaving one, what was it they would say? So the Mefarash here says, Mishi Shiken Shmo B'Bayit Hazeh, Hu Yashkim Beinecham Ahava V'Achva V'Shalom B'Reyot. They give just a bracha that, you know, God who this gives lives here, is dwells among this place, should bring peace among you in your, you know, in the next mishmar, in the next group of people coming in. Okay. Amar lahem, chadashim laktor bo vafisu. So then the Mamuna makes an announcement. He says, okay, anyone who's never done the ketoret, come up and let's do the lottery to see who's going to be able to offer the ketoret. Zacham yishazacha, whoever wins, wins. Amar lahem, chadashim yoshanim. Now everyone, people who've done it, people who haven't done it, bo vahafisu mima ale evarim min hakevesh lamizbeach. So let's see who's going to bring. Do you remember last week or last class we talked about how they you know, maybe it's 2 weeks ago, where they took all the parts of the animal, put it on the ramp. So now the lottery was who's going to take it from the ramp up to actually burn it on the mizbeach. On top of that, so there was another lottery for that. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer hamale evarim lakevesh hu male otan al gavei mizbeach. He says no, it's just it's the same group. Whoever brought it up continues to takes it up the rest of the way. Okay. So it says here, so they would then, anyone who didn't win, so they, this is basically everything that's going to be happening in the morning. Everything's been decided. So if you didn't win any of the lotteries, you're not going to be doing anything. So then you would take off your clothing. You'd be done. And the Mefarsh says, Hanisharim shelo zachu hem mafshitin otan hashamashim lamikdash. The ones who didn't win any of these lotteries, so they go and they remove their clothing. They only wear their pants. And then they put on their regular weekday clothes. And then they take off. So they put on, I guess, I don't know, some like toga. They put something on top. Then they take off the pants, fold it all up, put it away, and there were these little cubbies, little windows, little cubbies that had, you know, shirt, belt, you know, turban, you know, they had these every cubby, so they put everything in the right place. Okay. Mishnah Dal. Okay. Mishas achab aktorat hayanotel at the kaf domel at tarkab gadol shos hab machzeg shakabin vebazech haya betocho. So then, whoever won the ketoret lottery would take this this big spoon, the big utensil, and. And then, so it held 3 kav, and then inside of it, there was another smaller utensil that held less than the 3 kav. So we would take both of those, the big spoon and then a little spoon that was like the big shovel and a little shovel that was inside of it. Now onto Lama Gimel Amid Alf. Male v'gadush ketoret, v'kisuya yalo uchmin mitutelet haya alav milmala. So then he fills up the bazaf, fills up that middle shovel, fills it heapingly with the ketoret, with the incense spices. And then the Mefarash says that they would put this little spoon inside the bigger spoon so that you wouldn't start, you know, if you walked around with it and stuff started falling out of the little spoon, it wouldn't fall all over the place because the little spoon that held everything was inside of a larger spoon. So if it fell out of the little spoon, it still fell into the bigger spoon. So that way you had a heaping amount in a spoon, but you didn't start losing it everywhere. And then there was like a little cover, the Mefarash says, there's like a little like piece of cloth that would sort of sit on top of it that would sort of cover it up. Okay. So then whoever won the coal guy, he would go up with this with the shovel. We got the ashes now, the fire's been burning for a little bit of time. So they moves the ashes, he takes the goes into the middle, gets the hottest coals, and brings those down out of the and he shovels them into a golden shovel. So the Mefarash here explains that there was always going to be some spillage. When he poured it from the shovel that he took from the Mizbeach and poured it into the golden shovel, there was always going to be spillage. Because the Mefarash says that they held different amounts. That the one that he shoveled from the Mizbeach held more than the golden one, which held, you know, held one kav more of coals. So there must have been spillage of a kav because you poured, you know, three ounces into a cup that holds 2 ounces, you're going to have 1 cup left over, or 1 ounce left over. So that's what happened here. So they would move away all the different things, all the different coals that fell onto the ground. So they would push them into the Amah. They would push them, the Mefarash says, I'm not sure where he says it, but this the Amah was oh yeah, there El Nachal Kidron. So this was an Amah. This was like a trough. This was a groove that would lead to the Nachal Kidron, that lead to the Kidron. That would then take everything out of the Beit HaMikdash. So
that's what they poured the water into on Simchat Torah Shavuot.
They poured it on the Mizbeach, no?
And then it went down.
Yeah, fine. So everything would sort of run into that reservoir. So that's where they would push whatever the additional ones were. But that was only if it was a weekday. If it was Rishabat, HaYakovel, and Pesach Ter. But if it was Shabbos, and then you could Mokza, it might go out. Okay. So they would just cover it over with like a big metal bowl. It was a huge thing, huge bowl. There were these two chains on it. He would pull out the chain to sort of move it around, I guess. Another thing you would hold so that it wouldn't start rolling away. So you'd hold it. There was all these. It was apparently an enormous bowl. Okay. There were three times that this bowl was used. It was used to put over any of the coals so people wouldn't trip on it, burn themselves. Well, sheretz b'Shabbat, and if there was creepy crawly, something that was tameh, that was running around the Beit HaMikdash, it could make everyone tameh, so they would just cover it up, and they couldn't get rid of it. Moridin ba'et ha'deshen me'al gabei mizbeach, but it was also used to remove the ash that was on top of the mizbeach. Okay. Mishnah Vav. Higiu ben ha'ulam le'mizbeach, natal achad et ha'magrifa, v'zorka ben ha'ulam le'mizbeach. So now they come, they're going now towards the mizbeach, where they're going to offer the ketoret. And he throws this magrefa, I don't know, it's like this rake of some sort. So he throws this instrument, it makes a huge noise. If you're having a conversation with your friend, you know, in somewhere in Yerushalayim, you couldn't say, what was that? Because you couldn't hear because the sound of the magrefa was so loud. And that purpose of that noise had serves three purposes. Here's that noise, and news they're about to offer the ketoret, they're about to do the whole prostrating thing, so he runs to go and join them. Levi, sees, oh, it's going to happen, that means we're about to start singing songs, so I'm going to go and to make sure that I can sing my song. Rosh Ma'amad, and then whoever is the Rosh Ma'amad of the Yisraelim who were also there at the time, so they would make sure that all the people, I guess, who were... They were sort of like they were present to sort of observe everything and make sure everything happened appropriately. And they would also make sure that anyone who was Tameh would just make sure they're standing outside at the Shaar HaMizrach in the eastern entranceway. And I guess they wouldn't come closer. They would stay over there, but you would make sure that they were all assembled over there to be able to see whatever they could. Okay, Hadron Alach, Amar Lehem Mubuneh. Let's see if we can go. Let's see if we can just finish this next parak. On the bottom half of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. So Echelo Olim B'Ma'alot Ha'ulam, Misha Zachu B'Tishin HaMizbeach HaPnimim Hava Menorah Hayam Makdimim Lifneihem. They would go, whoever won the Tishin HaMizbeach HaPnimim Hava Menorah, whoever was able to, whose job it would be to remove the ash from the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaZahav and the Menorah, so they would go first. Misha Zachu B'Tishin HaMizbeach HaPnimim Nichnas V'Talat Ateni V'Yishtachava V'Yatza. So whoever that would go in, take the basket that I guess had already had in it, because remember we talked about this before, the guy would come in, sort of clean it up and put all the ashes in this basket. So we'd go in, get the basket, bow, and then leave. Misha Zachab Yidushin HaMenorah, the person who wanted to do the menorah piece, Nichnas, Matash Teinerot Ma'aviri Ma'araviyim Dolkim, Medashenot HaMizrachi, Nechat Ma'aravi Dolek, Shemenu HaYamadlik at the menorah Shabbein Arbaim. Would go in, he'd see those two, we talked about before, those two candles still burning. So he would... I don't know, he would extinguish the easternmost one, clean it out, leave the westernmost one still burning, because that was going to be the light from which the rest were going to be lit in the afternoon. So he'd clean that out. So he would, if both of them had already gone out, so then he would go back and relight that westernmost one, because that was the one that would need to be used to light the menorah in the afternoon. And then he would go. If you remember the last time we had that, he left that jug on the step of going up to the menorah. So then he would take it at that point. He would take it, bow, and leave. Okay. Mishzachah b'machta. Tzabarta kechalim al gabei hamizbech. Ritan b'shulay hamachta v'ishtakva v'yetzah. Now the person who won to do the coals, so he would go and he'd pour the coals onto the mizbeach. He'd sort of even them out, flatten them out with the sides of the of the shovel. What's that?
It's not like stoking.
Well, there was nothing on there yet, so he's taking the coals and pouring them on. It had been cleaned off a couple prakim ago, and he just went to the mizbeach. He took the coals. Now he came down. So now he's going in there to put the coals actually on the mizbeach hazahav because there's nothing on there yet. It's been cleaned. So he pours that on. So he sort of pulls them together in one place. Then sort of spreads them out using the sides of that shovel. Essentially stoking them at this point, sort of moving them around. Then he would bow down and leave. Now the guy who has the incense would go in. So he would then give it to his friend, someone else who's there. So give it us to someone. They sort of could sort of help him pour it out, put it onto the mizbeach. If it starts spilling around, he could use his hands to sort of pick stuff back up. They say, just make sure as soon as you put it down, it's going to start steaming and smoking. You don't want to burn yourself. So start pouring the incense out further from you and then work towards you. Because if you pour it closer, you're going to get all this heat, smoke coming up. You're going to end up burning your arm. So start further and then come closer. He wouldn't go on his own. You'd have to wait for the memuneh, the person in charge, to say, okay, you can now pour the incense. And if it was the Kohen Gadol who outranks everyone, so he wouldn't say, he would say, excuse me, sir, Ishi, Kohen Gadol, now you can go ahead and pour it. So the Farshir says, everyone leaves the area. So everyone leaves, then he goes down and he puts the Ketorah down, bows down, and then leaves. We'll finish on Thursday morning the last parak and the end of Masechet Tamid Shkoach. Thank you, everyone, for coming.